Lord God, Heavenly Father, may we use this time to focus on your word. In your son's name we pray. Amen. So when I think of something dangerous, I wonder what pops in my mind. What pops into our mind? If I just say the word dangerous. And so thinking about that, I think of a lot of different things. From the small things to the really large things in our lives. One of the things that I recognize is that there are men and women in our armed forces that face danger each and every day. So I just wanted to take a small look at that this morning. When we take a look at this one picture, we look at the military, and one of the most awesome things that I like to see a picture of is when our men and women, especially in the Navy, when the ship sails in and the big aircraft carrier comes into port, all the men and women are standing kind of like side by side like this, usually dressed in their pure whites, and you can see an aerial photography taking pictures of this, and sometimes they're even spelling out words. But they're standing at attention, equal distance, and it looks like they've done this before. And so the question that I'm thinking is, what if a sailor got up that morning and said, you know what, Admiral, I really don't want to do this today. Do you mind if I just sit this one out? If you're in the military, what happens to you if you do that? Yeah, you might get in a little trouble. The admiral might say something like, well, enjoy your time in the brig, right? Okay, so if you join the army and you go off into war, is it any wonder that if you're signed up for the infantry, that you might be caught up in situations in which you got shot at? What would happen if some of our infantry come back to the general and say, do you understand that they're shooting at us? They're actually using real bullets to try to kill us. We didn't sign up for this. Would that be dangerous? Probably both ways, right? What would it be like if the call came in to the lieutenant from the general, and the general says, I need you to take that hill. We're taking too many casualties, and we need to take that hill. I need squad one. I need you guys to rush that hill. And they look at the hill, and all the privates say, you know what, General, can we talk about this? Can we have a meeting, and can we just talk about what you think we should do? Would that be okay? What do you think the general would do? Just in your heads. Would he say, you know what, you're right. That some of you may give up your life. That's too dangerous, so let's do something else. Well, in the military, you don't do that. In the military, you're signed up, and you know who gives the orders, you know who takes the orders, and so therefore there's a chain of command, and the military knows that there is danger out there, and you look out for each other. By following this chain of command. And so, interesting enough, is when we look at commands, when we look at what's going on in the world, if you would get out your worship bulletin and turn on the back cover to Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Does anybody see danger when they look at this gospel reading? Does anyone see danger? And you might think, well, as I'm reading this, there's a lot of danger in here. Depends on who's, what are you looking at? What? Be more specific. And so I wanted to look at verse 17. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. So right off the bat, is that dangerous? Yes. Now, from two different points of view. Number one, I'm in real danger right now. You guys realize that? I'm in real danger right now. You know why? How many people when someone says, follow me, are getting antsy right now is he going to ask us to do something that we are not comfortable with? Here comes the will you please sit somewhere else speech, right? I mean, that's not comfortable for us. Modern Christianity is about comfort. American culture is about comfort. Don't ask me to do something I'm not comfortable with. When Jesus says, follow me, that's where I hesitate. Because that is dangerous. Because something out of my normal routine, something that I normally don't do, that's dangerous to me because that's a lot of unknowns. And there's a lot of pastors out there who are asked to resign, step down. There are a lot of church councils that when a pastor asks something to follow Jesus wherever that takes, there's a lot of pastors who are removed by their congregations because we don't want to do that. We're comfortable where we are. So number one, that is dangerous. Number two, from your perspective, when Jesus says, follow me, what do you really know about that? What's the next step? Is that something that you really want to hear at your life? Then no, it's kind of crazy, isn't it? Where you don't necessarily know what you want to do with that. And so there's a little maybe angst. There's a lot of anxiety. Lord God, what are you calling me to? If you notice in verse 17, in the Greek, when he says for them to follow me, number one, it's not like he is coming up to them just out of the blue. Realize that some of the disciples were with John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, before he is put into prison, he takes his disciples and says, you need to go follow that guy now. That guy's the real deal. I came to prepare for him. You guys need to follow him now. I have a different direction in life. So therefore, John the Baptist gave his seal of approval to Jesus. And so when Jesus shows up on the shores, calling these disciples, these fishermen, they already know who he is. They know him. So when Jesus says, okay, follow me, they've had that time to really contemplate, could this man something greater than who I see? And so they were already prepared, most of them. And so they knew the cost. And so when Jesus says, follow me, they were ready. And so this morning, I just kind of want to get you to this question of, does God, when he says, follow me, does he ask you, sell everything you have, and go live in a hut somewhere over in a far away country? No, he doesn't. The reason why we know this is because even when he was working with Paul and Timothy, they were asking to raise up Christians and leaders, even to care for the people in the communities and to look at reaching out in their communities. And so sometimes the mission field was right where they were. And so this morning, is it right where you are today? Because even as you look after the resurrection of Jesus, what were some of the disciples doing? They were still out fishing, right? So they hadn't totally given up this act of fishing. So the Lord still worked with them to plant them, but also he sent them out from there also. And so he does a lot of different actions with different and various people depending on their gifts. And so this morning, is it dangerous? Is it dangerous for me to stand up here to ask, where is God leading this congregation? Where is God leading us as individuals? There's not enough in Wilmer to do. Well, yeah, because in order to look at things differently, what the Lord is asking of us, that can be great things for us to accomplish. How about individually? Anybody else have an exhausting week? Anybody feel like they have absolutely zero left when you come in here and it's almost like, I'm out. I got nothing left. I hope this service is good because I really need to be filled up because my tank is fully at zero. And so I just wanted to remind you that when Jesus calls us to a new life, we don't stand alone. That's an amazing, that's a great thing. When Jesus says, I am with you, that is a promise that he says he stands side by side with you to go with you. He doesn't launch you out of there away from him. He goes with you in this thing. And so when he says, follow me, and that's just like the general, because in the Greek, this is a command. To follow me is a command. It's not a suggestion. Hey, would you like to go on a journey? For 3 years, these men went with Jesus. They were taught by Jesus. They were able to take him aside and say, Jesus, what did that sermon mean? That was too much. And yet, Jesus went with them to guide them. What does it take when you think of a good leader? When you think of a good leader, what qualities do you think of? Are there any qualities you think of in a good leader? Are we void of leadership? Give me a, verbally tell me, what makes a good leader? Communicate. What was that? He was already in the first service, so he already knows what I'm about to say. That's not fair. All right? What else? Experience. Anything else?
Wisdom.
All right. Think of all these things. I also want you to put one more in there. Sometimes when I've gone through this leadership course, one thing that kept over and over, it was brought up, good leaders were at one time good followers. Good leaders were at one time good followers. They just weren't born and say, hey, let's go. No, they learned and they learned and they understood that when they took orders from somebody else, they learned how that went to be and how do I react to that? What do I do with that order? How is it that I can lead somebody else to follow in a direction? And so when you take a look at the disciples, when Jesus says, follow me, these guys were fishermen, ordinary guys, not knowing too much. Look at Peter. He was the world's worst follower, worst. He couldn't get anything right, and yet Jesus, after his ascension on the day of Pentecost, he became a really good leader simply because he chose to follow first. And so that's something that's forward, something that's foreign to us. It's something that's dangerous to ask us to follow first before we lead. And yet that's what Jesus is asking us today. Is we need to learn how to follow him first so that we can lead others in that journey. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, the road, the path for each one of us is not something that's paved with lights. Lord God, we don't totally understand everything as that we are to do in life. We know that when you call us out to go somewhere, to do something, to look out for somebody else, Lord God, you do that with the intention of being there right with us. But also, Lord, you allow us to go through the experiences, Lord, that we learn from. And Lord God, we become better followers over time. Lord God, sometimes that time has a way of burdening us down. Lord God, sometimes it is something which, Lord God, certain situations are harder and harder to deal with. Lord God, help us understand as a church body. Lord God, you have given us so much grace that, Lord God, it is sometimes hard to show that, but also, Lord, through you, through your cross, through that act of servanthood to serve us first, Lord God, you have given us a great model to follow. So help us as a church body to seek and find ways to serve you in servant leadership. In your son's name we pray. Amen.